So what can you do? What can you do realistically, you know, that takes into account what you are about? Well, here is what you can do. Ignore the activists, ignore the revolutionaries. We have to face bullets, we have to face military trials. It doesn't matter really what you do. It doesn't matter if Facebook is going to reveal my information or not. I have to assume that I'm being constantly watched, that everything about me is public. It doesn't matter. But what matters is ordinary users who use your products to practice their agency. When you decide that they cannot decide to choose a pseudonym, then you are negating them the right to negotiate their identity. The right to negotiate your identity is, it's not in the Charter of Human Rights, but it's actually essential to most rights. Negotiated identity is very important. I get to choose whether to reveal who I am and how to reveal who I am and decide who I am on my own terms and on my own basis.
Return to Mubarak's prisons. I'd never have guessed I'd be repeating the experience 5 years later, that after a revolution that overthrew a tyrant, I'd return to his prisons. They keep coming back to me, the memories, all the details. The skill of sleeping on the floor with 8 colleagues in a cell 4 meters long and 2 wide. The songs of prison and the conversations of the convicted. But I cannot remember how I kept my glasses safe while I slept. They've been stepped on 3 times in 1 day. I realize they're the same ones that were with me last time, when I was imprisoned in 2006, and that I'm locked up again now, again, pending trial, on similarly flimsy charges. The only difference is, we've swapped a national security prosecutor for a military prosecutor, a change in keeping with the military moment we're living. Last time, my imprisonment was shared with 50 colleagues from the Kefaya movement. This time, I'm alone, in a cell with 8 wronged men, the guilty among them wronged like the innocent. When they learned I was one of the revolutionary youth, they started cussing out the revolution for failing to clean up the Ministry of the Interior. I spent the first 2 days listening to their stories of torture in the custody of an unreformable police force that takes its recent defeat out on the bodies of the poor, both the innocent and the guilty. From their stories, I heard the truth about the triumphant restoration of national security. 2 of my cellmates are first-timers, young men without an atom of violence in them. Their charge? Organized crime. Yes, Abu Malik is an armed gang of 1. Now I understand what the Interior Ministry means when it regales us every day with news of armed groups it has arrested. We can congratulate ourselves on the return of national security. In the few hours when the sun comes into our dark cell, we read what a past cellmate wrote in beautiful Arabic script on the walls. 4 walls, covered from floor to ceiling, with Quranic verses, prayers, and reflections. And what reads like a powerful desire to repent. The next day, we discover in a corner the date of execution of our cellmate, and our tears conquer us. The guilty make plans for repentance, but what can the innocent do? My thoughts wander. I hear the general's speech on the radio as he inaugurates the tallest flagpole in the world, how it breaks every record. I wonder, does naming Mina Daniel as an instigator in my case file break the records for shamelessness? They don't just kill the man and walk in his funeral procession, but they spit on his body and accuse it of a crime. Does this cell break the record for cockroach density? Abu Malik interrupts my thoughts. I swear to God, if this revolution doesn't get the wrong to their rights, it will sink without a trace.
We are calling for the immediate release of Alaa Abd El Fattah. Join us on freealaa.net to find out how you can help.